Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Amazing. That turned into a long conversation for some of you. Oh, so great to be in church with you tonight. My name's Mel, our campus pastor here, and it's awesome. Isn't it awesome to hear those testimonies and to be witness to what God is doing in the lives of Callum and Grace? And we had five other baptisms this morning as well, and God moves so powerfully. It's just beautiful to hear again and again what God does in people's lives. These stories, they're powerful because they are authentic testimonies of lives that have been impacted by God. And so perhaps you are here today and you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for some time. And as you hear these stories, it takes you back to that day when you made a decision to follow Jesus. Or perhaps you hear those stories, it takes you back to the day you were the one in the pool. You were getting baptized and you were making that public declaration of what Jesus has done in your life. And if that's you tonight, then our prayer for you is that this service will in some way be a refreshing reminder to live your life from that place of salvation, to live in the power and the purpose of God. And perhaps you're here tonight and you are wondering, what is so special about this whole God thing? And why is it so meaningful to people? Perhaps you're wondering if this is real, or if it's even relevant, and why someone would even consider God. And if that's you, I hope that for you tonight, that what happens here tonight and what I'm about to share stirs some questions in you and sparks some curiosity in you. And whatever it provokes in you, I'd love just to take a few minutes to encourage you and hopefully bring some meaning to what you've seen and what you have heard today. And so tonight I'm going to speak to you on this thought: who do you think you are? And what I'd like you to do is just turn to the person next to you and say that. Why don't you say, ask them that question: who do you think you are? Now, it matters what tone you use, right? It matters what tone you use when you ask that question. Yeah, here we go. Come back to me now. Come back to me now. Do you know that today is the first Sunday of August? That's crazy, right? The first Sunday of August. We've only got a few weeks left of winter, and then spring is on its way. Hallelujah. It's not uncommon for us to get to this point of the year and reflect on what has transpired in the first half. And to think on those things that you planned for the year, the expectations that you had for the year. And then when you look at the reality of what actually happened, for some that kind of reflection brings you joy. It fills you with pride and delight as you think about the great things that took place, the successes, perhaps new things that came your way. And for some of us, maybe it's a little bit of a reality check that there were some things on the list that we wanted to do by the end of the year, and maybe you've still got time to sort that out before you get to Christmas. And for others, as you reflect on what's happened across the year, perhaps for you, that stirs up some feelings of disappointment. Perhaps it stirs up some feelings of regret or sadness, that as you reflect, you see that things didn't really go to plan. Maybe something happened or something was done or said or not said, or maybe just that the struggle's been real, that situation unfolded, somebody moved out of your life or mistakes were made. Or perhaps as you consider what's happened across the year, you think, man, nothing has changed. I'm still where I was this time last year. Whatever it is, we all know life has its ups and downs. It has its disappointments and joys. It has its successes. It has its failures. That's no news to anybody in this room. But what so often happens to us is we allow the experiences that we have in our lives to build our identity, or we build our identity around our successes. We build our identity around our failures or our mistakes, our struggles, our experiences. And if you find your identity in those kinds of things, then likely you are going to find yourself living on an emotional roller coaster. Because if you wrap your identity up in your pay packet, in your belongings, in your career path, in your popularity, in your approval from others, then your sense of confidence and purpose is going to be strong when those things are going well, and you're going to feel on top of the world when you are pleasing everyone, but suddenly plummet when you are not. And this is how we get trapped on that emotional roller coaster by letting the highs and the lows of life dictate our worth. But following Jesus gives you a different kind of life. In fact, following Jesus means you step off that ride entirely. It means that you are we trade our unpredictable situations for His unshakable declaration. It means receiving and becoming who He says you are, not who you think you are, or what that situation said you were, or what someone else told you you were. It means finding your true identity in God. And if you want to know what your true identity looks like and sounds like, we need to go back to the very start of Jesus' public ministry, to the account of His baptism in Matthew 3. And we're going to go there right now, Matthew 3 and verse 13. It says that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me?" And then Jesus replied, He said, "Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, when He went up out of the water, at that moment, heaven was opened and He saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alight on Him. How beautiful. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." When we hear about John in this passage of Scripture, this was the man we also know as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. And he came ahead of Jesus. He prepared the way for the people of his time to receive Jesus Christ. He traveled around the region of the Middle East, of Judea, preaching a message of repentance, calling people to turn from their old life and prepare for Jesus to come. He called them to repent and be baptized. And people all over this region, they came to John. They traveled from their towns and they met him at the Jordan River to be baptized. People from all walks of life. People like you and me, people who had issues, people who were broken, people who had failed, people who were living in oppression and hard times, who didn't know what the future held. These kinds of people, they came to John in droves, and Jesus came too. Jesus came too, and He joined these people on the bank of the river, and He waited for His turn to be baptized. And John, knowing who Jesus was, rightly acknowledges his own lack of qualification to baptize Jesus. And he tries to deter Jesus from baptism. Jesus had not sinned. He had no need of repentance. He was an innocent man. He lived an innocent life. He had nothing that he needed to turn away from. He didn't need to turn his life around. But Jesus insisted on taking part in something that was designed for a flawed humanity. He identified himself with us. He identified himself with our sin, with our brokenness, with our separation from God, and he took it all on himself. And so he took part in this public declaration of repentance and new life to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus' baptism represents his total identification with you and with me. with the people that he came to save. This identification with humanity at his baptism, it was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do on the cross almost 3 years later. And Paul describes it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said this. He said, God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus identified with us and he went to the cross. He identified with you. He identified with me and our sinful nature. He took upon himself our sins, our flaws, our brokenness, so that we might be able to identify with who he is, that we might become the righteousness of God. And this is what the power of God, of what Jesus Christ did for us. Jesus Christ identified with us so we could identify with him. Come on, let's give God praise for that. You know, you don't have to identify with your past anymore. You don't have to identify with what other people have said about you, what that person spoke over you, how that experience made you feel. You don't have to identify with that anymore. When you are a follower and believer of Jesus Christ, you get a new identity. Who do you think you are? Well, I pray that tonight you think that you are the righteousness of Christ, that you are walking in the plans and the purposes of God, that you find your new identity in him. You are living a life that now identifies with what he says and who he is. And you know what? One of the aspects of Jesus' identity that we receive when we choose to follow him is we become a child of God. And of course, when we become a child of God, we then also receive God as our Father. Now, before we move on, I know that for many people here tonight, thinking of God as your Father will be really hard. I know that with the breakdown of the family over the last few decades, to think of God as your Father is a tough sell. It's tough to think of God as your father when your actual father was absent or abused you or left you or was disinterested in you. It's tough to think of God as father when the term father carries trauma and emotional pain. And if that's you here today, I want to encourage you that while it might take time, seeking healing from that is a journey worth going on. It's a journey worth going on because finding and receiving God as your Father is the most life-changing, life-giving decision you could ever make. Your life will never be the same again. So if that pain is real for you tonight, go on the journey. Go on the journey and get that healing, get that restoration in your life so you can fully step into your position as a child of God and you can know him as your Father. So one of the first things you need to know about what defines who you are as a child of God when God is your Father is this, is that you are loved by your Father. You are loved by your Father. What God said about Jesus at his baptism is the truth he wants you to anchor your identity in today. As Jesus came up out of that water, his Father spoke over him and said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is what he says over you today. This is what your heavenly Father declares over you today. He says, "You are my son." He says, "You are my daughter and I love you. And in you I am well pleased." You see, you are defined by the love of your heavenly Father. And just like this statement that God the Father made over Jesus, you see, this statement that God made over Jesus, it was declared over Jesus before he went to the cross. It was declared over Jesus before he had performed one miracle, before he taught one message, before he delivered one person, before he healed or gathered disciples. It was spoken over him before there was any productivity in his life. You see, what you need to know today is this, is that your identity is not defined by your productivity. Come on, your identity is not defined by what you do. You're not defined by whether you are the life of the party or the quiet person who sits in the corner. You're not defined by whether you're academically inclined or not. You're not defined by whether you're popular with the opposite sex or not, whether you're a parent or not, or whether you're gifted, intelligent, or you don't know which way is up. It doesn't matter where you sit or where you land. You are not defined by your highlight reel or your followers. You're not defined by whether you're single or married or divorced or widows. You're not defined by any of those things. You are defined by the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you. He loves you. And there is something incredibly grounding and unshakable that happens in your identity when you know that before you even take a step out of your bed in the morning, that God loves you. Before you've achieved any little thing, God loves you. In fact, and I wouldn't recommend this, but even if you did absolutely nothing with your life, you are loved by your Father. You are loved by Him simply because you are. You are loved by Him simply because you exist. Your existence is what draws the Father's love. Right here, right now, He loves you because you are. And you might be sitting here tonight thinking, well, hold up, Mel. Surely there is something I've got to do. Surely there's something I've got to measure up to. Surely there's some kind of standard or there's a list of rules or something somewhere that I need to do. And I think that is a common misconception, even among believers today. But that's not what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says about God the Father's love for you. In Romans 5:8, it says, God put His love on the line for us by offering His Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to Him. You see, God sees you and God saw you even when you were of no use whatsoever to Him. Even when you had your back turned to Him, even when you were stubbornly going your own way, He loved you and He loves you today. And He's not waiting for you to get your life together. He loves you right here, right now. He doesn't love some better version of you when you've got your life all sorted out. He loves you right here, right now. So if you think you need to wait until you're getting everything right, until your life is on track, you don't. This is what defines who you are when you are a child of God. Your Father loves you right here, right now. Come on, we got to praise God for that. Praise God that He loves us tonight. You know, one of the most famous scriptures that we read in the Bible, one of the most well-known is John 3:16. And this talks about the Father's love. It says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. The world, that's a big term. So let's make it personal. God so loved you. God so loved you that He has given Jesus to you. And in giving Jesus, He is offering you life. More than just walking and breathing, but really living. A life full of hope and peace and purpose, forgiven of all your wrongdoing and assured that you belong to God both right now and into eternity. Giving my life to Jesus was by far the best thing that I've ever done. I'd be a mess without Him. I'd be seriously lost without Him. He's healed me. He's forgiven me. And He's given me a reason to live. You know, people say that there is a God-shaped hole inside every human heart. And we spend our lives running around trying to fill it with all kinds of things, with money and career and relationships and achievements and successes and all kinds of things, but nothing quite satisfies. Nothing quite makes you feel whole. You see, nothing will fill that God-shaped hole in your heart except God Himself. But it's up to you. It's up to you whether or not you receive Him or not. It's up to you whether you decide to open your heart and your life up to Him or not. The ball is in your court. It's up to you. It's up to you because you see, God's already done His part. He's done His part to love you. He's done His part to send Jesus to die for you. So now it's your turn. You choose whether or not to respond to what He has already done for you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.